Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you that we can gather together as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can study your word. And we thank you, Lord, that your word has great application to our lives. And we love the word of God. We love you. Help us to love it more. Help us to love you more. And to live for you, I pray. Ask for your blessing on our time this morning as we study your word. May you speak to our hearts. May you help us apply the truths to our lives where they need to be applied. We do think of these many prayer requests now that we have this morning, and think of Edith there at Johnson City Medical Center with kidney and liver failure. Lord, give the doctors wisdom as they seek to treat her. For Duncan, as he's broken his foot, we pray that the doctors would have wisdom in treating him and that it might heal properly. For Rick, as he's getting his test results Tuesday, give the doctors wisdom to know what they can do to help him with this lung problem that seems to be worsening, and God, just work in his life in this time. For Reba Stapleton, Lord, we pray that you be with her and Kathy Webb and this Stover lady whose husband passed away. Now she's expecting a child. Lord, folks really struggling, and I pray you just encourage them and lift them up and help them. For Jerry, as he had this attack by this bull, broke his leg, we pray that, again, you'd help his leg to heal the way it should. Think of Angie now. She's been trying to get a job for some time and has this interview in the morning, and be thy will, we pray it would go well and she might be able to get that job. And for Rose Perkins with the broken hip, this man Marshall who was shot and needs healing from heaven, Lord, do a work there in that life. For Amanda Castle, Lord, you know the need there as she has surgery this week. And also do pray for Maxie as she's struggling now with this pain. I appreciate her faithfulness in coming to church anyway, and I pray even now you'd ease the pain and minister in her body, Lord. And thank you that Eric is coming home Friday. Just continue to work in his life, Lord, in a miraculous way. And Lord, just a lot of prayer requests here. We pray that you would meet each one of these needs. We think of this helicopter pilot, his family. We pray that you would encourage and comfort their hearts. And Lord, you know the needs at this time. And again, Lord, ask you to speak to our hearts now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 3, we're continuing wading through Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. As an employee, you may not realize that when you get hired into a company, if you're an employer, you know all about this. There are hundreds of labor laws that your employer has to obey. I just got online this morning, and there's the minimum wage and overtime pay laws. There's the wage garnishment laws. That's the one you don't want to have. There's the child labor protection laws. There are occupation and health laws. There are worker protection and agriculture laws. There are did you know there's a whistleblower law? The Whistleblower Act, that's exactly right. All kinds of laws. There's all kinds of labor laws, and we could go on and on and on, and there are hundreds of these laws. Why is there a need? What is the root cause? And I'm really looking for one word that all these laws are needed. Why are all these laws needed? Well, we could say sin, but more specifically, really, I think it's greed. It's greed. It's greed on the part of the employer because they don't want to pay what they should pay, and they want to get all they can out of the employee, and they don't treat them correctly. It's greed on the employee's part because they don't really want to work, but they want to make lots of money and want to have all the benefits and have all the time off. And so you've got this conflict going on in the place of employment. Now we come to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22, and Paul deals, it's amazing to me, now this book was written, folks, almost 2,000 years ago. And yet, the labor law that Paul gives us, he gives one for the employee, one for the employer. We're going to cover those two this week and next week. It is amazing how current these things are. Now, why are they current today? Now, have the times changed from 2,000 years ago? Sure. In fact, you look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. What's the first word? Servant. And that is really what word? Slave. Okay? Have our times changed? Well, thankfully, yes, they have. And yet the same principles that applied when this was written in probably 60, 70 AD are still true today in 2012. Isn't that amazing? And just as Paul has been very succinct in dealing with the husband and wife relationship, by the way, women, wives, what is the one word, the one duty that you have as a wife? That was very exciting. I appreciate that. That exciting. It's good. Isn't that amazing, though? There are books that are written, hundreds and hundreds of volumes written about the husband and wife relationship, and Paul narrows it down to one word. Submission. Now, he moved on to the husbands, and again, there are volumes written about how a wife ought to, how a husband ought to treat a wife and all these things, and we get one word from Paul. What is it? Men? Love. Yeah, that was much nicer. Good. Now, if you would just do it, we'd really have something. And then he moved on to children, and again, there's one duty of the child to the parents, and what is that? Obey. I mean, isn't it amazing, folks, how Paul does that? And here's the same thing is going to occur now as he deals with the work relationship. How many of you have a job outside your home? You work for someone other than your husband or wife, okay? All right. So many of you, probably most of you, okay? Now, there is one word that Paul gives us here for the employee, and then he's going to expand on it. And then in verse chapter 4, verse 1, he gives us one verse for the employer. Now, here it is, chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, what's the next word? Obey. What is the duty of the employee to their employer? What is it? One word. Obey. Obey. Just do what you're supposed to do. Now, some of you that are employers, wouldn't you love... Now, Phil is praying for guys. Did you ever hire anybody? Not yet. And one of the reasons he hadn't hired anybody is he can't find someone who will simply do what they're supposed to do. Just go and replace the windshield the way I taught you. Just do it. Just be there. Just come to work, you know? And when you come to work, come to work, you know? So here he is. Now, he's going to expand on this, but he says, servants, obey in the things you agree with. Now look, folks, this is all inclusive. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now, the rest of this passage, we're going to cover quite a bit of it, but the rest of it is just an explanation or how you are to obey, all right? So it says obey, and then he said, now look, here's how you do it. Not with eye service, which is a wonderful word, we'll talk about that in a while, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve your master. Isn't that interesting? We'll get into that next week. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, I'm not going to get to that this week, but I just want to stop and think about that. When you go to work and you think about who you're serving, typically we would say, I am serving the boss. Now, what does Paul say here? He says, no, you're serving the Lord Christ. Now, we'll expand on that next week. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now, let's look at this law for employees. Again, how many of you are employees? All right, good. How many of you don't work, you don't want to work? Good, all right, good. That's all right. Very good. Now, he opens the passage with this word, obey. Now, we've seen this word, obey, before, haven't we? Where did we see it before? Children, obey your parents. Same word. It means, it's a compound word, to come under. And the other part of that word is that word, acoustic. Again, you know that word. It means to hear. so he's saying, look, servants or employees, you need to listen to what your employer says and then submit yourself to it, come unto it, under it, and do it. Now really, all he's saying is just do what you're told. Once again, we see this need for submission. Now remember, in Ephesians chapter 6, which is the parallel passage. In fact, we're going to flip back and forth again. So go ahead and find that, because you're going to need to get to there. But in Ephesians 5, where this whole thing starts, in verse 21, this is the key to all these relationships. Ephesians 5:21. What is the word? What is the key to every relationship? Proper what? Submission. You say, my husband and I are not getting along. Okay? There's a submission problem. My children and I are not getting along. There's a submission problem. And that may be on the child's part. It may be on the parent's part. My boss and I are not getting along. There is a submission problem. It's the same idea, folks. It is simple. It is clear. It is concise. There needs to be submission. There needs to be obedience. You say, wait a minute. You don't know my boss. And I don't. You're right. How many of you have a perfect boss? Now, unless you work for yourself. Yeah, these guys work for themselves. Yeah, they have perfect bosses. They're also living in la-la land. They don't know. He does not say, obey your boss when he is worthy of being obeyed. Now, again, let's go back to, see what women today want to say is, I will submit to my husband when he is worthy of my submission. That's not what the Bible says. What men want to say, they want to say, I will love my wife when she is worthy of my love. What children want to say is, I will obey my parents when they are worthy of obedience. And what we want to say in the workplace is, I will submit and obey my employer when they are worthy of my submission. That's not what the Bible says. And that's why we're in so much trouble today. Now, he said, look, folks, you say, well, my boss is not saved. Well, that's probably true of most of your bosses. He doesn't say here, obey your boss if they're saved. You say, my boss isn't very bright. Now, we would probably all say that. I would not say that about my boss. My boss is extremely intelligent. He's the pastor of this church, so I have to get in trouble. You say, well, he's only my boss because his dad owns a company. Well, that may be true, but it doesn't change the fact that you're supposed to obey. You say, well, they are profane and they are ungodly. So I don't have to obey him. I want you to hold your place there, but turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 18. 1 Peter 2, and verse 18. Again, he uses the word servants. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And you say, I will be glad to do that when they're right and when I agree and when they're righteous, right? He said, okay, do that. He says, you be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now, I'm sure that's a word you've used a great deal this week. You know, you're telling your child, you are froward and I'm going to beat the snot out of you. This is actually a word that you would understand. It comes from the Greek word skolios. You know that word, don't you? How many of you ladies have scoliosis? What is that? You have a crooked spine, all right? And that may be the result of it, but my mother-in-law has it very severely. And it's the same word. It's the word crooked. So when you read the word forward, it's a crooked person. And he says, look, you're to be subject to your masters when they're good and gentle, but also when they are crooked. Wow. You say, wait a minute, I'm a child of the king. I'm not going to submit to a crooked person. I mean, I'm going to judge the world with Christ someday. I'm not going to submit to these guys, these wicked, perverted people. By the way, you have two choices in the workplace. Now, we're going to talk about the exception in a moment. But you have two choices. One is obey. What's the other one? Get out. Quit. It's exact. Those are your two choices. You don't like it? All right, go find a job somewhere else. That's your choice. Either obey or leave. By the way, what happens, and we're going to talk about this more in a moment, but what happens to a believer's testimony when they do not obey? Think about that. Now, we've seen what the law is. He's given us the law. Now, let's explain it. And that's what the rest of the passage does. It explains what it means to obey and how you're to obey. All right, let's look at it. We're back in Colossians. Flip back to Colossians 3:22. And he says, servants, obey. Here's the areas of obedience. If you're taking outline, this is the area of obedience. Here it is. It's pretty clear. We've already mentioned it. Obey in all things your masters. Now, there's another phrase there, according to the flesh. Again, when should you obey? When it makes sense to you. Now, are there times, no matter who you work for, that your boss doesn't make sense to you? Sure. Now, here, I work in a church. But let's just be honest. Pastor and I are two different people. And we have two different ideas and two different thoughts sometimes. And sometimes, we had a meeting this week. And we were brainstorming about some things. And he didn't do what I wanted to do. I had a great idea. Let me share my idea with you. It's kind of, well, anyway. You've seen these balls that are giving out to what the world. I think I explained to some of you folks. I had a great theme for a missions conference. We've got the whole world in our hand. I mean, we got a chorus already. He's got the whole, you know, we could just change a few words. And he didn't like it at all. I was deeply offended. You know, the simple matter of fact is, no matter who you work for, you're not going to agree all the time. Because you're two different people. And if your philosophy is, I'll obey my employer as long as I agree, you're in big trouble. It's not, you know what, I will obey my employer if I like to do that job. Or you know what, I will obey them if it's in my job description. It's not my job description, I don't do that. I don't do windows, you know. Now again, this is a consistent truth all throughout the Word of God. And all throughout this passage, we've seen this, haven't we? Wives, submit yourselves and your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It does not say when you agree. It says all things. They're all inclusive, aren't they? Same thing with the employer and employee. By the way, Larry, if you'd like to, I'll give this a recording to all your employees out there. And I could do that. For a small fee, we could help you out there. Now, it is interesting there, even though he says in all things, notice the rest of that passage. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now, what does that mean? What is the jurisdiction that your employer has? It's the fleshly things. It is the things of this world. He has no jurisdiction over spiritual things. Now, it's interesting. You say, what's the point? In that day, there were slaves and masters that would go to the same church. They were believers, and they would get to church, and sometimes the slave was the minister. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? And he says, look, in spiritual realm, and again, we'll talk about this here. We talked about that crooked master. Is there a time when an employee should not obey their employer? What if you're the accountant and the boss wants you to cook the books? Change a few figures. Just change this little figure right here, you know, and change it. What if they want you to lie about the product? What if they want you to cheat? By the way, if that should happen, what should you do? Does that kind of thing happen? Sure it does. All right, what should you do? Well, I think the first step is to go to the employee or employer humbly. Now, by the way, testimony is real important here. Because if you're a jerk all the time and you've been stealing stuff and you go to the employer and say, you know what, I can't do this, this is illegal, this is against the law, and he's going to say, yeah, right. And you go to them humbly, not, well, I want you to know I'm a Christian, and as a Christian I don't do that kind of stuff, and you're a wicked, and you're a sinner, and I'll never do it. How's that going to go over? You will be looking for a new job. There is a right way to do things, folks. And if that doesn't work, what do? You leave. Because as we'll see next week, you are primarily serving the Lord. You're a servant of Christ. So here is the area of submission and obedience. It's in all things, but then he goes on and he talks about in the flesh, okay? Those physical matters. Now, let's look secondly at the attitude of obedience. And we'll have to flip back to Ephesians 6 to see this. Because it's not in Colossians, but in the parallel passage in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 5. And he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. Now here's the new part. Here's the attitude, with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Well, I think the words reverence and respect are good words. And by the way, that's when you do disagree, respectfully disagree, to show them honor. Again, we saw this with children, didn't we? In Exodus chapter 20, children, they're commanded to honor their parents. Not just obey, not just do it, but do it with honor. Do it without griping and complaining. Doing it and honoring your parent. Or honoring, in this case, the boss. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is a great passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 1. First Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Now we've heard that. Why? Why is it important that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed? Now, what happens when your boss asks you to do something and you do it? But to all the guys you're working with, you're complaining and griping and saying, "Boy, what a jerk. I don't know why we're getting these ideas. I shouldn't have to do this. This is not right. I don't agree with this." And what's happened to the doctrine of God? He said, "Look, folks, we need to have the correct attitude in the workplace, because if you don't, it will destroy your testimony. It will destroy it." And that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying the name of God and his doctrine will be blasphemed. When you don't respond with the right attitude, your coworker's saying, "He says he's a Christian." Well, we see how good the church is. Yeah, that gospel. So that's all a bunch of junk anyway. There's no reality in that. You say, "Wait a minute, my boss is a Christian, so it doesn't matter about my testimony." Look at the next verse. "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren." Oh, he's a Christian. I'm a Christian. I can get away with anything I want to do. You know, he's got to treat me nice. He's a Christian. You know? No, he says, "But rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit." They're also believers. Then look at also in Titus, over a couple pages. Titus chapter 2. Nine and ten. Titus 2, verse 9. Paul says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things." Look at the next phrase. "Not answering again. Ho, ho! What does that mean? Wow. Now, again, I work for a Christian. I worked for Preacher Lastly for 7 years or 26 years. I work for Pastor Jody now for 3 years. And now I'm just up front with you. I don't know if I ever talked back to Preacher Lastly in 27 years because I was flat afraid of him. I'm not quite as afraid of Pastor Jody as I am him, but I tell you what, do you think I'm ever attempted to talk back when he tells me to do something? Now, Pastor is a great boss. He lets me just do about anything I want to do. You know, it's wonderful. I have no gripes. But again, there are times we disagree. And I got to shut my mouth. What happens if I go to Brother Bob? I say, Brother Bob, can you believe that? What a stupid idea. Where did he come up with that? Where did he go to college? Where you went or something? You know. Yeah. Anybody have a moving van I could borrow? Now look what happens, folks. He says in this passage, he said, don't answer again. And look at verse 10. Here's another one. This is a word you haven't used this week either. Not purloining. What does that mean? Don't steal, okay? Don't be a petty theft. But showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Boy, do you see that, folks? Your response at work either hurts the doctrine of God or it adorns it. Now, adorn means to make attractive. Now, here's what happens. You're in the workplace and your boss calls you to do something. You say, your coworkers know you hate to do it. They know you disagree with it. And you do it, and you honor and show respect to your boss when you do it. And it says it adorns the gospel of God. And the people at work say, you know what? They are different than I am. They've got something I don't have. Because I can't respond that way. And then when we have special meetings and you go to them and say, hey, we're having a revival this week with Dr. Comfort. I'd love to have you come. And they say, you know what? You've got something I'd like to have. I'll come. Or you give them a gospel tract, or you tell them about Christ and how to be saved. And they say, you know what? You've got something I don't have. I'd like to have that. It adorns the gospel of God. Now, folks, can we be any more practical than this? I mean, this is right where the majority of us live. Right where we live. Now, he says, look, you need to have the right attitude. There are areas of obedience, okay, in all things, in the flesh, as servants of Christ. There's the attitude of obedience, and then finally today, the activity of obedience. All right, let's look at this. Back in Colossians. Now, the phrase we're going to look at is the way most people work. Okay, here it is. It says, servants, in verse 22, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with, what a great word, eye service. You know what that is, don't you? You work with people like this, don't you? I mean, their main thing is eye service. They're sitting around, going about half speed, on the web, you know, reading about all their favorite sports teams and stuff. They're texting. They're hiding their cell phone. They're calling during work, you know, and they're doing all these things. They're always talking to everybody. They're water cooler, you know. They're taking a break every 10 minutes. So I think I need a break. You know, I need to go out and take a break. And they're always in the bathroom. They're always, you know, just kind of piddling around all the time. And then the boss shows up. And, man, they're a working machine. Their fingers are just flying on that keyboard. They're just going to town. I mean, or out in the factory, you know, they're just sweat pouring off their body, and they're just laboring, and that boss is there. As soon as the boss leaves, what happens? Oh, okay, I can quit working now. That is eye service, isn't it? Eye service. When the boss is around, when it's time for raises, you know, 10 minutes out of the year, they don't do a thing. And then it's time for raises and everything. And boy, they get working. By the way, I've been putting that into effect. Our deacons are meeting for the budget meeting Tuesday night. We don't have any deacons here, do we? What a bummer. And I have been really working hard around all the deacons, you know, and trying to show them what I do here around the church, you know, and all this stuff. And been calling them and asking them if there's anything I can do at their house or help them out, you know. Not really, but that's eye service, isn't it? You work when the boss is there. Now, what does that do, folks? Well, it makes you a poor worker, number one. Your production drops, and it's horrendous. It kills that. It makes you lazy, hurts the production of those around you. And again, it destroys your testimony. And they know right off the bat that you are a phony, that you are a hypocrite. And if you're a phony at work, you're probably a phony spiritually too. By the way, let's back up a second. In Ephesians chapter 5, how does this whole passage start? Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, a Spirit-controlled worker will not be one who practices eye service. You say, well, that's just how I am. That's just my... No, you're being controlled by the flesh and not by the Spirit. That's all there is, folks. When I respond incorrectly to pastor, the problem is not the pastor. The problem is not what he's saying. The problem is I'm not being controlled by my spirit. I'm being controlled by the flesh. Okay? Now, this word, he says, don't have eye service, but instead, this is a great word, he said, but in singleness of heart. This is a neat word. The root word for this word is to braid together, to take many strands and make them one. It is used in Romans 12:8, or he that exhorteth an exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with, anybody know the word? Simplicity. It's also used in Matthew 6:22, where it says, the light of the body is the eye. Light enters your body through the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, same word, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, I've not dealt with lasers a great deal, except those little handheld jobs, you know, you blind people with when they're going by your house. But if you take the light of the laser and spread it out, how effective would it be? Anybody use lasers at work and cutting tools, that kind of thing? Anybody? Nobody? We're not that high tech, I guess. The laser, the light, if you focus it into a very small beam, it's very powerful, and you can cut metal and do all kinds of things with it. But when you take that light and you spread it out, it may light up the room, but it loses its focus, it loses its power. And that's the idea of this word, folks. He said, look, as a believer in the workplace, you need to have a singleness, a sharp focus in the workplace. You need to have that one thing you're trying to do. And it takes all your efforts, all these different ideas, and it braids them all together into one powerful thing. That's the idea. That singleness of heart and a purpose. Now, we see this all throughout the Word of God. David had it. He said in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What was his one thing? He wanted to walk with God, know the presence of God. Isaiah says in Isaiah 57, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded, therefore have I set my face like a flint. It's hard, it's got a singleness of purpose. The Lord was this way. In Luke chapter 9, he says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's that singleness of purpose. Paul had the same thing. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but what? This one thing I do. There's that singleness of focus. Now look, he's saying, believer, in your workplace at Eastman, boy, you're your boss and your employee too. You're in trouble, aren't you? Rick works for himself, so. Wherever you're laboring, in the Kingsport City Schools, at Indian Path Hospital, you as an employee are to have a single focus. And it's not to please your boss. That's not the single focus. Now, if you've got the right single focus, it's going to include that. You're going to do that. So my question for you is, what is the single focus you should have at work? Do you want to know? Come back next week, and we will tell you. It's found all throughout this passage. It's found several times, but we want to focus on it next week. Now, here it is. Are you an employee? All right. Are you fulfilling your obligation? Obey the activity in all things in the flesh with the right attitude. And that's not just in front of the boss, that's to all the other employees too. And are you doing it with a single focus? And we'll talk about what that is. If you want to read ahead in Colossians, it's found there for you. You see the phrase three or four times. You know what it is, but we'll hit it next week. Now, folks, look. Your Christian testimony is dependent upon how you work. Either your life at work is hurting the gospel or it's helping the gospel. Let me ask you, which is it? Which is it? The people that are watching your life, and by the way, they are they being drawn to Christ by the way you work, or are they being repelled from Christ by the way you work? You say, well, it's just kind of static. It can't be. Unless they don't know you're a believer. And if that's the case, you really got problems. Now, folks, this is very important. And you can only be the right kind of employee as you are spirit-filled, and you're only spirit-filled as you spend time in God's Word every day and walk with Him. Okay? Lord, we do thank You for the practicality of this passage. I pray that You'd help all of us that work for someone else to be obedient and to respond correctly, that the gospel would be helped and not hindered. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.